Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, all with great warranties. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee and a great service department to back it all up. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
Pitch to Judge. Swung on and drilled to deep right field. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Into the Boston bullpen. A Judgian blast. Now the 1-1. Swung on. There it goes. Deep left field. It is high. It is far. It is gone out of the building. Over the high green monster, over the monster seats, out onto Lansbone. He is phenomenal.
John Sterling with a call on the Yankees radio network, and believe me, the shot to right, the bullpens at Fenway are way back. And that gives him now 57. He is one behind Jimmy Fox and Hank Greenberg for third all-time in the history of the American League, with plenty of games still remaining. With that, let's bring in one of the absolute best in the business, Brad Nessler, who will have the Penn State-Auburn game on Saturday. Brad, great to have you with us. How you been?
I'm good, man. It was good to hear Steve. Good to hear John Sterling on a call. He likes the Judge home runs a little bit.
Yeah, he's got all sorts of calls when it comes to Aaron Judge.
John's been doing it 100 years, longer than you and I.
I know. I remember when John was doing the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, he did the Braves, too. So, and then he went to the Yankees, and he's been up there ever since.
Amazing. So one place I've never been. I've never been to Auburn. So what is it like doing a game in that atmosphere in Auburn, Alabama?
It's pretty cool, man. It's going to be good to see in person, by the way.
Same here.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, you're used to 110,000 people, and Happy Valley is as loud and as crazy as any place. I think maybe the temperature and the humidity might get to everybody a little bit differently than if you were in Happy Valley. But I thought we were going to have just beautiful weather, but I think it's going to warm up to probably 87 or so, maybe 88, and it's been really nice the last couple of days down in this part of the country. But I think it's going to be a little steamy probably for the game on Saturday. But great atmosphere, you know, when they go out and the War Eagle flies at the beginning of the game before the national anthem and all that. It just kind of sets the scene. But, you know, you'll enjoy it, but you've been in just as big a stadiums and just as rowdy of places as you'll see on Saturday.
All right, no, no question, which then brings up next year will be a split year with the SEC and the Big Ten. How excited are you to get the Big Ten back in the mix, and then eventually, obviously, the SEC will fall by the wayside? But what's your thought on that?
You know what? I haven't really put a lot of thought into it. I guess explaining it to my family, explaining it to my friends. From that standpoint, you know, I've had to talk about it. But I know the first 2 weeks of the season next year, when we normally wouldn't even be working, maybe I'll be doing Big Ten games, and then some other ones mixed in there, you know. And so from that standpoint, it'll be kind of fun. I mean, you know, Gary and I kind of came up the ranks in the Big Ten when we were at ESPN when we were together the first time. And so getting back to some of those locales will be a lot of fun. Got a lot of friends still in those places. You know, basically all our family, for the most part, is still in the Midwest and in the Big Ten. So I might have more of my nieces and nephews watching than I do normally on a Saturday, because they'll pay more attention to the old uncle when he's up in that part of the woods.
What kind of, I mean, you've gone through the video so far. I don't know if you've had a chance to talk to the coaches yet. But we'll start with Penn State, then I'll go to Auburn. What read do you have on Penn State first?
First of all, you know, I thought I know everybody's excited about the freshman quarterback, and he's really fun to watch and everything. But I thought Sean Clifford played as good as you can play last week, really, against Ohio. I mean, he might have had a sack or two and maybe a read or two, you know, that he would like to have back. But I think he's been really good. And, you know, when you got a guy that's been around 6 years, that's a solid. That's like having a great point guard in basketball. And I thought he's played really, really well. The young guys, I mean, I know you've got to be psyched about it because, you know, you haven't had a running back like that probably since Saquon. And you know, Nicholas Singleton looks like the real deal. I can't wait to see him in person. It's just from watching the film the last week. He's something special. You know, when you hear about five-star guys and number one recruits and top recruit and Gatorade Player of the Year, all that stuff, that's great until you get out and you start playing somebody. And for him to do what he's done, you know, in the first couple of weeks, just from the first snap against Purdue, the first time he got in there, I was like, whoa, maybe this guy's everything that everybody's been talking about. And after watching the game, I think he is. So that's going to be cool to watch him play. And, you know, I think Tinsley, the guy that transferred in, really good receiver. And they just look solid. You know, Penn State looked fast on defense to me, too. So I think it'll be a great matchup. You know, SEC, Big Ten, this is if it's anything like last year's game that you guys had up there, it'll be great.
Yeah, that was quite a game between the two. So now I'll flip the page. Auburn's played Mercer and San Jose State to this point. What kind of read do you have on them at this stage after two games?
I don't think they're very good. They're 2-0, though. They'll take that. You know, I got a lot of friends down in this part of the country that are Auburn fans, and when I saw some of them on Sunday when we were watching NFL games together, they were not a happy group. But, you know, nobody in the SEC is ever happy, I guess. You can be 7-0, yeah, and they've got something right to complain about, you know. Yeah, they're just inconsistent. I'm not nuts about the two-quarterback rotating system. Now, it's different for Penn State. They got an opportunity to play three, and that's because they were ahead, and you know, everybody had a chance, and everybody, all of them played really well. That's different than going every other play or, you know, if it's going to be a pass, let's leave T.J. Finley in there. If we're going to run it, let's go with, you know, Robbie Ashford. I'm not nuts about that whole system of running guys in and out on the same series. So that's just me. So, you know, Brian Harsin's got a plan, and I kind of think in their case they use two quarterbacks because they aren't comfortable with either one of them. So, you know, the old adage about if you're playing two quarterbacks, that means you don't have one. So I don't know if that's the case or not. But that's the way they played so far, Steve, I think, and just inconsistent and, you know, bad throws, bad interceptions. Their passing attack is not where they want it. I know that. But, you know, they did a good job of running the football and kind of getting back to what they can do with Tank Bigsby. And in doing that, you know, they got back in the game and subsequently won last week. But they could have easily lost that game. They should have been down 14 to whatever at halftime. Crowd, there was a situation where you said, what's the atmosphere like? The crowd cost San Jose State one of their touchdowns in the second quarter because, you know, they just kept going backwards. They're down on the 2-foot line, and all of a sudden they're back at the 12 or whatever it was, and it's, you know, third and goal. So from that standpoint, you know, I think that's going to be good to have a guy like Sean running the show because he's heard noisy crowds before. He's been there and done that.
All right, exactly. Bigsby and Hunter. Now, obviously, I've only seen them once in person. That was here. You've seen them multiple times, including the game with Alabama last year. What kind of attack did they give Auburn when the two of them were in gear?
Tank's really good, and Hunter's a little bit different. You know, Tank, I don't think he's it's really Cartavious. You know, he used to be built like a tank. I think he's actually lost weight. I think he wanted to get faster. And Hunter is a little shiftier and a little faster. You know, when they really get their offense going and Tank's rolling, they're really good because then they can do a lot of other things, play action and stuff and get it down the field. But they can't do that if they can't hit people. And that's what they've been. Quarterback's been off target, missing guys that are open. Shanker, their tight end, is, you know, pretty good. He catches. He's consistent, catches balls. They got some guys that are pretty good on the outside, but Tank's their guy. I mean, when he gets rolling and has one of those 150-yard games, you can be in for a long day sometimes if he gets lathered up, and that's what they, I think, are going to probably try to do against Penn State. I don't know if they can.
Last week, for example, Fox had this game, but Texas played Alabama. This week, Auburn plays Penn State. So, and I realize, you know, people have to remember, Texas is still in the Big 12, but you get intersectional matchups. They seem like they're a rare commodity these days. How do you feel about keeping elements like that still alive within the game?
I hope they can, you know. The kickoff classics and that type of thing that Atlanta has, you know, two or three, at least you get major conference, Power 5 guys against Power 5 guys, and it's good. And the Alabama-Texas game was a great scene, you know, and it's down there. So, I mean, the ones that are at neutral sites are a little different because depending on what part of the country you're coming from, it can be really lopsided as far as the fans. And it was lopsided in the Texas-Alabama game, obviously. But I think it's great. And you know, I think most coaches in the SEC would say, you know, let's play one really good non-conference team and let's play nine conference games. And, you know, the fans will come back. Well, most fans are going to sell out everything anyway, but some places aren't that way because, you know, they go, I don't want to see Mercer necessarily. And Texas A&M won't want to see Appalachian
ever again.
Ever again. I don't know why anybody would ever schedule those guys either home or away. And so,
yeah,
God bless them. It was fun to watch, you know, because I didn't have a game last weekend, and you know, I'm watching ball, and I'm sitting here, and my wife's going back and forth through the family room, and she's going, wow, what's going on? And I said, well, this team just beat this team, and they weren't supposed to. And she said, well, that's good. And I said, well, it's not that good because your husband was supposed to do Texas A&M and Alabama on October 8th, and that kind of messes things up. And she said, and then she saw the coach's interview, and she goes, you got to just enjoy this, don't you? I said, yeah, I do. And I saw the coach after the game because that was just so cool that kind of stuff can happen. But, you know, good for – maybe not good for some of us, but really good for college football last weekend with Marshall, Notre Dame, and that one.
Yeah.
And Sunbelt had a better outing than just about any conference there was last week.
No question. In fact, Penn State played Appalachian State in the opener in – at 19, 18, whatever it was. And the game went to overtime, Brad. So you do not want to see these people on your schedule.
No, not at all. I mean, you got to be crazy even to do that. Not to mention they take 1.5 million home with them, you know.
Oh, I know. They get 1.5 million and the win.
I mean, beat that. That's a good weekend, man.
Yeah, it's a great weekend, as a matter of fact. That's great. I mean, but again, these are the kind of games that are really good gauge games, especially at the beginning of the season. You've seen, obviously, the SEC up close and personal, week in and week out, various places. What does make the SEC special to you?
I don't want to say it just means more. I hate that slogan.
Me too.
The defensive lines and just the guys on defense, front fours and stuff are just a hair different. I don't think it's any different than the Big Ten is now, but other conferences, you just don't have guys that are, you know, 306 pounds that can run like tailbacks, and there's a whole bunch of those guys in the SEC, and just about every place you go. And I don't know, from the fan standpoint, I don't think it's any better than Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, Wisconsin, you know. I get the same kind of buzz, I think, wherever I do games. It's just that the SEC has a reputation about being better than other conferences as far as the fan experience. I don't think it's any different, really. I think at LSU they drink a little more, maybe, if it's a night game. That's a whole other story.
Great. Let's schedule them.
Let's
have some fun with this thing. Let's do it. I don't need you to comment on Brian Harsin's offseason. That's a separate entity. But you do have to deal with him. What kind of guy has he been to deal with on your end?
Pretty reserved. I don't think he trusts at least not us yet, or maybe media in general in the South and in the SEC. And I think when you come from somewhere else, there's a perception that you're never going to be able to recruit, you're never going to be able to win because you're not from here, and that type of thing. And not everybody can be from the South, you know, and end up coaching football in the South or in the SEC. So, I mean, I think he came in feeling like that everybody thinks he's an outsider. And so in that respect, a little bit reserved. And then he's had just so many different things come up. And, I don't quite know how we're going to deal with it yet. You're right. But coaches leaving, players leaving, rumors about him and his personal life, all that kind of stuff. And then the guy that hired him, resigned 2 weeks ago, Alan Green, who I liked a lot, the athletic director. And so the guy that hired him isn't there. The fans are not crazy about the brand of football. And I think if there's one thing that you find out about Auburn football is, how can I put this, the boosters have a bigger influence at Auburn probably than any place I can think of anywhere in college football, if that makes sense to you. So, the pressure of, I'll be honest with you, I didn't know if he was going to make it through the summer, and he made it, and now he's off to a 2-0 start, which is great. But this thing can go south in a hurry at Auburn if everything doesn't go right. So, I wish him well, but the guys that have the money and the boosters and the fact that they're still paying Gus Malzahn and they're probably still paying Gene Chizik. I don't know how many guys are still paying. They might be still paying Tommy Tuberville. I don't know. But, those guys got deep pockets and they got a lot of influence. And so that alone is kind of always hanging over your head, especially when your athletic director that hired you isn't around anymore.
All right. Looking forward to seeing you on Saturday, Brad. Really am. Thanks so much for doing this.
You got it, buddy. I'll see you down on the plane.
Sounds great, Brad. Thank you.
All right, Steve.
Brad Nessler on the Plains on Saturday. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We're going to hear from Aaron Judge's agent in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have Brad Nessler on the show. Andy Burcham, the play-by-play voice of Auburn football, next half hour. Get his read on how Auburn has played the first two games. You have been panicked about Aaron Judge. I mean, be honest.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we were able to get a hold of his agent to get a statement from him as to where Aaron Judge stands.
Greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right. Greed works. Greed clarifies, cuts through, and captures the essence of the evolutionary spirit. Greed, in all of its forms, greed for life, for money, for love, knowledge, has marked the upward surge of mankind, and greed, you mark my words, will not only save Teldar Paper, but that other malfunctioning corporation called the USA. Thank you very much.
And I believe that sums it up perfectly.
That spells foul.
You'll be 31 in May. It's time to get the big payday. Courtesy of the Academy Award winner Michael Douglas in Wall Street. Greed is good. You didn't like that clip, did you? It made you angry.
It's not shocking. I know.
It's a show. What do you want? Come on. Try and have some fun here at your expense.
No, I'm used to it. It's all good.
Have you asked yourself why you're used to it?
Actually, no.
You get too emotional. And people prey on it. Even your own family laughs.
This is true.
Have you asked yourself why?
Yeah.
I mean, the Eagles are going to play this weekend. You're going to be a basket case again. I don't even know who they play.
Home against Minnesota on Monday night.
No, Minnesota won their opener. They looked good.
They did. I don't have a good feeling about this week for the Eagles.
Do you pace during games?
Actually, yes, I've been known to do that. It depends on how it's going, but yes, I have known to do that. I stand a lot on third down, too.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai. Best in new inventory with great warranties. Pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee, so important. And a great service department. They need more technicians than ever. Stop by in person, apply online at sunburymotors.com or call Todd at 286-7746. You didn't seem to appreciate hearing from Aaron Judge's agent. I just...
Not really, no.
Where was he wrong?
He wasn't. That's the problem.
It's all part of the fun of radio. The clip we used was from the movie Wall Street, for which Michael Douglas won the Academy Award. I mean, that's one of the signature scenes. Greed is good. I'm surprised in the staff meetings the suit hasn't played that. It is his mantra. No?
No, senor!
I'm just surprised.
No, senor! No, senor!
I mean, the guy is all about quick cash. We know that. By the way, the GoFundMe page to send him to Central Michigan, up to $7.22.
S-U-I-T, that spells suit-a!
G-O-N-E, gone. All right. Andy Burcham, outstanding play-by-play voice, Auburn football, joins us. Andy, great to have you with us. So, two games in, Andy, what do you know about the team you broadcast for?
Auburn played a very poor first half of football last week against San Jose State, and then played a much better second half, but did not come out of that game, you know, with just feeling like you have a ton of momentum getting ready for the toughest part of your schedule, and it starts with the Nittany Lions on Saturday. So there's some questions about this team. They made a lot of mistakes in the first half, penalties, threw a couple, both of the quarterbacks threw an interception in the first half. Auburn was down 10-7 at the half, played much better in the second half of play. And if that's indicative of this Auburn team, this is going to be a fun day on Saturday. If Auburn goes out and plays as it did in the first half,
Yeah. It
could be a very long day for the orange-clad Tigers.
Are they going to wear orange?
I don't know. We're wearing orange. I don't know if, and that's a big deal here.
I know.
That's why I asked.
That's
huge.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some folks that believe that that's the reason that Auburn was not very good in the late 70s is because they wore the orange jersey twice. I mean, if they do, it will be very interesting to see the reaction. I think the younger you get, they love the idea of the orange jersey. The older established fans do not. My wife is one of them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think the players like it. And I think they're toying with people. But I can't tell you one way or the other right now. I think they will wear an orange face mask.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they're going to wear the orange jersey. Yeah. If they do, it's an historic night or historic day.
Well, Penn State will be wearing white helmets, white jerseys, white pants, just so you know. It's
as we would expect.
They played a game with Maryland. And the game was in Baltimore where the Ravens play. And Maryland decided they wanted to wear their throwbacks to 1961. Red jerseys, numerals on the helmets, the whole thing. So I'm doing the broadcast with Jack, and I said, and Maryland's wearing their throwback jerseys. I explained. He said, Penn State's wearing their throwbacks. I said, oh, wait a minute. Those are the Penn State jerseys. So there you go. We know Bigsby and Hunter. Alston, by the way, you know, fans haven't seen him here yet, but obviously I've seen him on tape. When you watch that running game, how good can it be?
I think it can be outstanding because I think Tank Bigsby, one, is and Jarquez Hunter, both are healthy.
Yeah.
And they were about midway through the season, neither one of those guys was healthy a year ago, and Bigsby still rushed for over 1,000 yards for Auburn. And I think he got healthier late in the season, but through a good portion of the season, he just didn't look like the same guy. And there's no question that Jarquez was hurt about midway through the season as well. And they're both very good backs. Good size, about 6 foot. They're 210, 202. And it's a good offensive line. It's not as good as it would have been if Nick Broms had been able to stay healthy and would have been playing in his sixth season at Auburn. But
right.
He got to about the last week of preseason camp, and it's just an accumulation of injuries over his career. And he decided to hang it up, and one day he'll be flying for Delta.
Right.
His dad's a Delta pilot, and he's studying to be a Delta pilot as well. So, and really a great, great young man. He'll get married next March, and I hate that he's not out there. I think this would have been a really, really good offensive line with Nick. Tate Johnson is a junior. He's from the same high school as Tank Bigsby at center for Auburn, and I think has played well in his first two games. His father, his uncle, Jim, was an all-Big Ten player at Purdue,
yep.
As a matter of fact.
Yep.
And Cam Stutz, the right guard, is a brand-new piece to this puzzle as well. He has moved ahead of Keandre Jones at that right guard spot. The other guys are back for Auburn up front. But Auburn's run game is the most important part of the offense right now. No question about it.
Last year, the fans saw Bo Nix. He's now at Oregon. Robbie Ashford was at Oregon last year. He's now with you. TJ Finley backed him up last year here.
Right.
So tell me about TJ and his progress and what Robbie Ashford with his speed adds.
Well, TJ Finley has been Auburn's starter since day one this season and took over for Bo Nix when Nick suffered a broken ankle in the loss to Mississippi State last season. So he has been the starter since. He has admitted that probably physically and mentally he wasn't ready to be the starter a year ago when he took over for Bo Nix. And although he played well at times, he also struggled at times, and Auburn finished the year on a 5-game losing streak. I think he's a better football player this year. He has thrown an interception in both games. He's throwing at about 65%. This season. Auburn's passing game is not prolific by any stretch at this point. I mean, he's thrown for 279 yards and one touchdown this season. It doesn't even come close to comparing to what Sean Clifford has done for Penn State. He's a big guy. He's 6'7",
yeah,
and has dropped about 8 or 9 pounds, so he's down to 250 right now. And he runs better than you might guess. You know, at the end of last year, he was a bit hobbled, too. He had a bum ankle himself down the stretch of last season and was pretty immobile for Auburn. But I think is a better quarterback for Auburn. And then Robbie Ashford, as you mentioned, transferred in from Oregon, where he never played football. He played 2 years of baseball. He was the number one baseball prospect in the state of Alabama coming out of high school. And he is a true dual-threat quarterback. And he's only thrown 10 passes this year, but he has 13 carries for 129 yards. And if he gets to the corner, he has sprinter's speed for Auburn. Good size. I mean, he's 6'3", 6'4", 212 pounds. He's good size, but it's his run game, and it's a different deal. And in, at least in the first two games, he's been in the second series. So it's not as though they wait for a situation. And he's been in on the second series starting deep in Auburn territory, too. So it wasn't necessarily a specific set that they were looking for. Whether that's the case on Saturday remains to be seen. But but as I told you when we talked earlier, I don't be surprised if he's not in the ballgame early and Auburn goes to a little bit of a different package at that point.
A guy I really like is John – I mean, he's an older player, John Samuels Shanker, the tight end, H-back. As a blocker, I feel like he's a security blanket for the quarterbacks. Is that accurate?
I would agree. A year ago for Auburn, he turned in a record-setting performance for tight ends. A school record, 33 catches for 413 yards. That both of those are school records at Auburn. Auburn's had some good tight ends, but it's never been a prolific passing team to the tight end. And Shanker could have gone on. He played baseball for Auburn for a year.
Yeah.
Good first baseman, but decided to come back and then decided that he was going to concentrate fully on football. Auburn's tight end room is deep.
Yeah,
Luke Deal and Tyler Fromm and Brendan Frazier and even Micah Riley Ducker are guys that you could see. And there will be times where you may see a triple tight end set on Saturday. But, yes, Shanker right now is the safety blanket for Auburn from a passing perspective. He's not going to stretch your defense. He's not a huge guy, you know. But he is one of those seniors. He's married. This is a mature kid. Mature young man, I guess I should say, and has turned into a really good receiving tight end for Auburn.
Andy, I watch Hall 29 on video, and I see an NFL player. What do you see?
Well, he could have been an NFL player this year.
I agree.
And listen, there was all kinds of turmoil here in the winter. It was well publicized, but guys like Shanker and Derek Hall, who you just mentioned, Owen Papo, Auburn's middle linebacker, who was injured in the Penn State game a year ago.
Yep.
All of those guys could have gone to the NFL, transferred somewhere else, and all those guys decided they wanted to come back. And I think that says a lot about Auburn University. It says a lot about this program, and I think it says a lot about this coaching staff. And Hall is a delight to talk to. He is one of those team leaders. You will see Derek at basketball games, women's basketball games, baseball games. I mean, he's a presence on this campus. He wants to be a leader. And listen, we know, I mean, in this day and age, if you're the best player, that doesn't necessarily mean you're the leader, though. This guy is the best player on the defense, I think.
Yep.
And he is a leader on this team. And as a result, he's one of the team captains voted on by the Auburn team.
Yeah, no, I think when you go to the line of scrimmage, you got to say where's 29 every time.
Yeah.
The other guy's Cam Riley. I look at him. I feel like Riley watched him in the Mercer game at San Jose State. He looks like he's just so much better than a year ago. What's your thought on him, Andy?
He is about 15 pounds heavier, stronger, and he's 6'5".
Yes.
And he's long. He has range. I mean, he can run, and it's his time. It's his opportunity. Jacoby McClain was that other linebacker a year ago. You'll recall he was ejected in the game there at Happy Valley.
Yep.
And when McClain and Papo were healthy, Auburn was really, really good at linebacker. Papo was injured in that game a year ago, is healthy now, and Riley just gives them a different kind of – he's 6'5". He's a big presence, and he's – He is around the ball. He had 16 tackles in game one against Mercer. He had 14 all of last year.
I have to ask you about, you know, we know Brian had a tough offseason. He got through it. There's going to be a new athletic director. So what is the state of the overall program there because of the offseason for both at Auburn?
I'll start with the athletic department, and Auburn named its interim athletic director yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Yep.
Rich McGlynn, who is an associate athletic director, but has been Auburn's compliance officer since he came on campus. And Rich has moved into that interim athletic director role right now. And now the search for a permanent athletic director moves forward. It will be led, and from everything I can tell, it will be the new AD will be named by Auburn's relatively new president, Dr. Chris Roberts, who was the former dean in the Samuel Ginn College of Engineering at Auburn. I think it's about as good as you can be in this situation. Alan Green was a very popular man here, a popular man in the athletic department. But I think he saw the writing on the wall as far as what his future was going to be at Auburn and decided to step down. And so Marcy Gerton, who is on the executive staff, was named the acting AD until Rich McGlynn was named the interim AD yesterday. And now the true search, if it hadn't already begun, it begins in earnest right now. It was a tough winter. It was a tough winter for this football program and certainly for this head coach. I think he came out of it well, though.
Yeah.
He is very self-assured. He is confident in his plan for Auburn football, and I think these guys really like playing for him as well. And I don't think you can underestimate. You shouldn't underestimate this team and the ability and the desire to play for Brian Harsin and his staff.
Well, I think the fact that so many guys stayed, that tells you a lot. I mean, that to me is the big part of it.
There were a couple guys that left, but a lot of these guys could have gone somewhere else, and they decided they want to be here.
That's right. Finally, what does this game mean to the Auburn fan base? It's not an SEC game. It absolutely is not Alabama. But Penn State's never been there. Is it excitement? Is it curiosity? What is it?
It's probably a little bit of both. I think the Auburn fan, the Auburn family, loves to have a team like Penn State on this campus. And especially after going, and there were a lot of Auburn people that I've talked to going around to various alumni groups that were at Happy Valley last year and were really impressed with that atmosphere and that game and were treated well by the Nittany Lion fans. And they're going to treat the Penn State fans well this weekend here. But they want those folks to experience what a game day is like on the plains on a Saturday. And I think just the fact that it's Penn State, I mean, it's a big name. And this, you know, after two games against Mercer and San Jose State, that Auburn fan is ready for a marquee game.
Yeah.
And this is the first one of those. And now, and really from here out, Steve, the rest of this schedule is a gauntlet. Because it's Penn State, Missouri, LSU, on the road, Georgia and Ole Miss before Auburn's off week. Auburn still has to go to Alabama. It still has to go to Mississippi State, and it still has LSU and Arkansas coming here, and Texas A&M all coming here. So the schedule gets really rough, and it starts with Penn State Saturday.
The Auburn fans that came in here last year were phenomenal people, so I can't say enough good things.
Auburn fans had a great time there last year. And they want Penn State to come in and have a great time, and they want the same output or the same outcome of a year ago. The home team wins.
Andy, what a pleasure. I can't wait to see you down there on Saturday. Thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
We'll see you on the plains on Saturday.
Sounds great. Thanks.
Take care.
Andy Burcham, play-by-play voice, Auburn football. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 630 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 630 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Didn't the suit have a timeshare at San Quentin? No. Did I get that wrong?
Nothing would surprise me.
I'm only asking for a friend. So it was a rumor. I don't know. I just ad-lib my lines. I don't write them.
F-O-U-L-E-D. That spells found.
That's our guy. That's our guy. Out of his own personal convenience, I guess he's going to bag Bucknell this weekend. Is that how I understand it?
I believe that is the case. I haven't heard anything finalized yet, but that's what I was hearing.
Wow. Okay. They got Jersey Shore at home.
They do.
And those people can't stand him.
Correct.
I mean, like, he went after him.
Oh, yeah.
Called him inconsistent, not good.
There's no love lost between both of them.
Jersey Shore hasn't lost since. No. That'll be at 7 o'clock on Friday, 6:30. Will be the airtime on WKOK. And our high school roundtable is tomorrow. We'll have the guys all check in. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. On News Radio 1070, WKOK.